Jeepers.
Blog Talk Radio.
The following is suitable for everybody. So everybody, tune in. Listen up. Tell your loved ones, your hated ones, your friends and enemies, family members, and even random strangers you see on the street. This is a show to be heard by all, because it's for a worthy cause. Good people, you are listening to Kakuna from the microphone here. I am DJ Butterfly Feces. And with me tonight is also Organic OK.
Yes, this is comedian Organic OK.
Yeah, he's the guy who helped put all this crusade together. It's 9 o'clock here on the dot. Please get involved with the cause. Tune in. We're here at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. Now, good people, one and all. Going from the microphone here is a charity. But this man picked me up here. If you remember, I was living in McKinleyville, California. I've been all over, but I still say it's the greatest place, McKinleyville, where horses have the right of way. Anywho, I was living there, nice and safe, nice and comfortable. And then what happened? Well, got kicked out of the family home. Big falling out. There were no jobs and there were no anything available in McKinleyville. That's a fact. That's a scientific fact of life.
People go there to go to school, too. People go there to hide out in the boondocks. They go to school and act like they act like they're another different person. Be giving people all kind of headaches, discriminating on people, and come back home. Say, well, it's crazy how people are part of groups that destroy you in life and then come across like they're the ones helping you.
Indeed. All right. Finally, I left my family home. I waved farewell and walked away. And I happened to come out into the woods. We got everything in McKinleyville. We got everything going on. And I've done everything there was to do there, but in a way, one thing I didn't do quite yet is leave something outside McKinleyville. There you guys were out in the woods. I remember you were camping. And I asked you to take me with you. Well, actually, you suggested I come along on the morning. You got me to get down on one knee and dub me DJ Butterfly Feces.
Hey. And put you on one knee. You might have fell in some mud and asked me to help you up. I didn't tell you to get on one knee. You was in the mud, man. You remember that?
Not really.
I bet you didn't. Come on, one knee.
No. Well, anyway, what happened was I was sworn in, made to be one of you. Then we ate up. We ate hearty.
What do we eat?
Camping food.
Camping food?
Yeah. The kind you roast over a campfire, the kind you're known for cooking over a campfire. Then we had dinner and whatnot. And then finally I came aboard and they took
now? I bet the viewers want to know, are you camping now? You sound like you're camping right now. How are you talking?
I can't tell if that's a compliment. Wait, what is that exactly?
Well, my thought, your sound like, were you get done taking a little hike on a trail or something?
Anywho, back to all things. I was exhausted. I didn't have much with me, but he told me he was going to help fund my stay aboard this little whatever if I just helped him with his crusade. A wealthy philanthropist going around helping the world.
Excuse me, can I ask you a question?
Go ahead. I guess the story can wait.
You just said wealthy?
No, you were funding all that. I mean, you were a made guy. I mean, if you were funding this whole cross-country trip.
Okay.
Anywho, Anyway, then before we knew it, we were going all over. Last I heard previously in our story, where were we? Beverly Hills, L.A.?
You like L.A.?
To be honest, I always was curious about, I think everybody's curious about L.A., the city of angels. I got to tell you something. We spent a lot of time there. There was a lot to do, and honestly, I hated what I saw. Now, once again, they came up with the idea that it was L.A. They were the birthplace of the housing pod. I remember some guy, I think he was an established guy, was building all these housing pods for the homeless, and L.A. decided to make them illegal. I ain't finished yet. They made it illegal for you to sleep, to live in your car. They were afraid people would do that and stop buying their houses, stop for apartments and whatnot. And everything in L.A. costs an arm, a leg. If you're not an established superstar doing well, playing politics and in movies and television and the music industry, you were doomed. Those were the angels. I saw a lot of fallen angels, poor people on the street dying to get out of L.A. Their dream was to make it out of L.A., like, to get out of there and get as far away from this city as possible. It was destitution. And you're asking me, do I like it? No, I hate it because I saw the way. I mean, you were looking after me and whatever, and we picked up garbage, we made the place better, but I saw the way we were being treated. So, no, I grow to hate L.A., and I think pretty much anybody out there who lives there does also. So there you go.
There's other surrounding neighborhoods outside of L.A. Like Oakland, the Piedmont, a lot of people. The areas. Right.
Go ahead.
Okay. Did you feel that anybody that you related to from L.A.?
I related to a lot of the people on the dang street who were telling their story. Some of them came out there to make it as actors, musicians, dancers, what have you. Some of them were just ordinary, average people who thought L.A. would be a nice place to live at least for a while. Some of them actually did sort of make it out there, and then all disappeared, and there they were back on the street.
Why is that?
Because, look, you know how there's no, look, let me say this. There's no such thing as tenure in any job now. You know that, right?
Say it again?
There's no such thing as tenure in any line of work, in staying power, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's especially true in basically in show business. So few of them actually make it there and stay there, you know?
Why are we in it then?
We're in there to help pick up the garbage, clean the town up, and help the people who are on that dang street.
So what makes them different than you?
And they really didn't have the welfare that I had from you taking me to and fro, and also, that's it. Aside from that, it could have been my story. They were like me.
No, okay. How do you keep the torch blowing?
How what?
How do you keep the torch? How do you keep the torch lighting?
How do I keep the torch lit? Well, I remember all the things that you told me, all the things that you said to me, all the things, and I take them to heart. I keep hope alive. I keep the spirit, the flesh burning.
Okay. So, how do you got going with us? I mean, you convinced me to bring along the way. What's going on, Butterfly?
Well, I'll tell you what, dang it. I realize that I want something better. I need something better. I deserve something better. And I go after it. I realize that basically these people need our help. Universal love and welfare among the human all the human species, it is a possibility. Yeah, but we can all just be together and get along and somehow. Try to imagine where people aren't each other's enemies, who don't fear that which is unknown, which is foreign to them. They don't fear other people. You can welcome them, you can get to know them, you can let them in your home and feel safe.
What's wrong with that?
I think it's something we need to make happen.
Oh, where?
These people, look, in L.A., I told you, what was messed up really, I just saw the way the homeless were being disregarded, the way the place was just, it was kind of a prison. They couldn't afford to live there. All they wanted to do was flee. And they weren't allowing the housing pods. The official reason was there wasn't room for all of them. Maybe I can go along with that. But I get the real thing, what they really hated was the fact that they want them to be in some kind of home that they can charge them money for. By the hour, by the day. You need to buy our shelter. You need to buy our electricity and running water. Got to protect my job assets. Everyone wants to protect their way of making money.
I'll tell you something. This is something that happened. Everyone, I'm going to give you some bonus. But DJ, how many people that we end up taking on this platform with us?
I don't remember the exact number of people we had. The exact number of people you had, basically. I called it the circus. That's what I called it. See, there were a line of Winnebagos, cars and trucks and SUVs and all that. All of us traveling together. I forget the name.
And did you forget the name intentionally, or did you just forget it?
I don't remember how many people that were with us.
So,
Rondo? Go ahead, tell the audience.
Okay, listen to this. It's part in the journey. There's people that take your happiness and people that you talk to that you want to have all the things wrong about them so you can discredit their knowledge. But it's people that you run across that have all the things that you imagine to have. Seeing somebody that has that much knowledge, seeing people that truly care about you, and see, that's the thing, though, bro. You think people that ain't got nothing is the ones that care about you the most because they ain't got nothing, but it's a desire within the person because today you see it's only people that truly don't have the appetite to care. If they was poor, they was rich, they was middle class, they have all this perception, they got to keep the, you know, the propaganda and the undermining and this kind of narrative rolling because otherwise, what would it be for something to truly be changed and truly be successful? What would it really mean? Think to yourself. What would it really mean to have that kind of atmosphere and bring peace to your life? You know, one of the things that I always seem to come across is a situation where, say, for example, you see a woman, the woman got a child, right? Mm-hmm. You see a woman that just, you know, in a sense, you know the woman don't have that much money and she got a child. And the woman, you know that the angle that she's coming is not even something that it's emergency. It's just something that she wants to maintain whatever she's doing. Now, in a sense, the person may get offended that you're trying to approach them and say, well, this person got nothing, they got a child. And once you let them have the little bit they have, they look at it as you being disrespectful because you're not giving them the opportunity to disport this situation. You know what I mean? Like, it's a time and it's necessary. It's a time and place for everything. If any person is allowed to take your money and take advantage of you and just be disruptive and offensive to just a constant, you know, battle with some energy that's not healthy. Anybody gonna get fed up after a while. And he wants you to be lined up to the abuse that people want to throw on you. Like you can inherit that problem. You don't want to inherit the problem dealing with your relatives that don't have those situations, right? Mm-hmm. You want to feel bad because you don't like them. So what do you think you feel about somebody that you don't know, that you truly may not say you directly don't like them, you don't know much about them, but you feel like you don't like them. There's a lot of components to that. When someone's bold to exploit your resources that you don't have. You may have $3, so I want to boldly and take the $3. You're like, that's all I got. You got situations like that, right, DJ?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, I've seen people that didn't have nothing give you everything, and then people that had everything won't give you nothing sometimes. Now, DJ, let's give us a little bit more of the story you have.
All right. 16 minutes after the hour here on the program. Graham Kakuna from the microphone. Please get involved with this conversation. We're here at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. Okay. Once again, I went down there and I raised hell. I tried to make sure that basically it was okay for people to sleep in their cars. There was a complaint about how seeing all the vagrants out there on the street and littering the sidewalks or whatever was hurting the tourist trade. Well, yeah. L.A. wasn't even a nice place to visit anymore, was it? Everybody was trying to leave there. It was a real thing. Anywho, what happened was, I remember, I tailed out of there and I thought, I'm going to make it. So look, this invention, the housing pod, we got to make sure this catches on and becomes more of a thing in other places. Got to stop making it so people basically, make it so that there are more of these things catch on. It needs to catch on. Everyone should have one, really.
Yeah,
let's make that the case. Let's fight for that. Before I knew it, there we were in our next destination. Dearborn, Michigan. I asked you, remember? I asked, so what's on tap first? What do we do? Put a few housing pods, whatever, and you said, no, man. I'll tell you what's first. Pick up the trash first. So I did. I picked up litter around here and there. I was an anti-polluter. Now I want to make clear that whenever Organic asks us to do this, you always make sure we have on those disposable rubber gloves and socks.
Hey, Butterfly Peaches, back up for the microphone a tad bit, because your voice is coming across the airwave distorted.
All right, fine. We did all that. In spades. Anywho, I'm picking up the trash. I remember saying, I'm going to try and basically push the whole housing pod hard. You said to me, okay, but don't hurt yourself. And there I was, doing all that, selling, pumping, pushing, and whatever, doing everything I could, everything, anything within reason, everything humanly possible, everything physically possible. everything possible, period, to just make sure that these things caught on. People have a place to live. To live. The housing pod. I told everybody what it was all about, came from L.A., and how it was the cure for homelessness. One guy laughed. You know what the cure for homelessness is? Give all the homeless people a home. They laughed. But I said, now that's what we're doing. We're doing just that. Doesn't have to be like this. We're talking salvation. And that's why people are afraid of homeless. You know, that's why people are afraid of the whole homeless thing, because any one of them could be next. You know, before you know it, you'll be thrown out on the street. And where will you go? Anywho, there is salvation here.
It's all right.
Yeah. There we were, running around, trying to honestly, honestly trying to build homes for them, whatever. And then I remember there was this one vagrant who had a dog. Go ahead. He's friendly. I petted him. We had a good moment there. I remember you basically taking me aside and saying, dude, don't be petting strangers' dogs, dude. Even if they say it's okay. You don't know that dog, God. You know that dog might not even have shots. It ain't all friendly, man. That dog might even know it's rabbit or something. The world is not safe. Some people keep very mean dogs for protection and whatnot. I always wondered, basically, if they're really homeless, if they can't afford anything, why do they have dogs? Why do they get pets in the first place? So they need some companionship. Sometimes a man can't get a wife or something. When a man can't get a wife, he gets a dog. A woman basically couldn't find a man to support her or have any babies. She gets a whole bunch of cats. Right there on the street. Something was wrong. I know there are cultures out there where there is no vagrancy. They try to make sure everybody has a roof and whatever. But even that was falling apart. It's just too many dang people. People are cranking out people all the time. Something needed to be done. Something. What? Let me say, reach out to these people. I asked one of them, what's your homeless program like? Do you guys have homelessness and whatever? Do you guys have, you have shelters and whatnot? You got shelters? One said, yeah, they're all full. One of them kicked me out. They don't want you to get too comfortable there. They want to make sure they try to get you back on the street. And, you know, I appreciate them giving me a dollar and whatnot. I appreciate it. But you need to understand something. It ain't enough. We ain't got enough. There ain't enough. I was just thinking, there's got to be an answer. Look, maybe there's some place that there's a lot, you know, those places where there's a lot of wide open space, whatever, those vast places. A few more homes, apartment buildings, complexes, something for them. A system that tries to help everybody. We need that. That's what we need. The only problem is there's just going to be so many people. I know eventually there's going to be something that's going to need to thin out the herd. Because too many is too many by definition. There's got to be something for this. Right now, what I wanted, what I needed, was some kind of salvation. You see, all of that. In Dearborn, Michigan, I have to admit, it was a nice, lovely town, but they still had vagrants there. I told them to be grateful. You know what I told them to cheer them up? You know what I told them?
Yeah.
I said, be glad you're not living in L.A. I told them how bad L.A. was. I told them the whole story. Remember, somebody else asked to join our little merry band. I don't know. I worked 20 times harder and all that. I thought about asking some of them to come aboard. But even you were telling me, I remember, you said to me, you said, you got to be careful not to try to invite everybody on this thing. I can't afford to take care of everybody. It's no good just trying to get them a free lunch. Because there is such a thing. But it's not going to be enough to take care of them forever. I don't know. That's something. You said yourself that there is an answer, and we need to do it more if we expect any progression. We've got to double time it. I picked up the trash bit by bit. It looked a little nicer. And I went around asking everybody not to litter. Don't undo all our hard work. And I told everyone to get together, unite a little bit, and rally and fight to make sure that they're being looked after in some way. Don't just ask for basically a soup kitchen to give you seconds. Make sure the housing pod takes off. The housing pod is a necessity. It's more than a necessity. It's what's going to save all of us. To all of Dearborn, Michigan, tell everybody, tell the world, vagrant people, be a place to stay. The housing pod was going to save people, wasn't it? What was the name of that guy who came up with it? Well, I guess it doesn't matter now. We should have him on the show sometime, shouldn't we? I'm afraid I have to go back, actually drive back to L.A., try to find that guy and say, hey, come on in. Because I know he was an established guy himself. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for listening to, at some point, Kakuna from the Microphone here with DJ Butterfly Feces here. Please, remember, we're here Monday and Tuesday, but full-time, check us out on the web. And check out the singer Maya Harrison. Boy, has she got some tunes you should listen to. All right. Call us on the show. We're at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. Thank you all for listening in. Thank you. Organic. Thank you all for listening. Thank you. And remember, get involved with the cause. Remember, the housing pod could save the world. Fight. The housing pod. Fight to make it legal in your town, wherever you live. If you live on this planet, thank you. Good night.